Man, there was so much blessing. God just blessed. And I'm going to tell you now, there were hundreds of folks saved. Boys, girls, mamas, daddies, visitors that came to the church services. God just blessed it. He really did. He blessed it. We were gone every morning, basically. I guess we leave out about 7:30. And at the place where we stayed, we were 45 minutes to an hour away from the place we had to be at each day, and even from the church. And how we got there, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It was on the left-hand side of the road. It was quick. They were flying down these roads, and I mean coming down the little roads. I was sitting in the front seat, and I got close to God this week, let me tell you. I got real close to God. Other folks sitting in the back of the van, they got close to the throne. They got sick. Several folks got sick, but it was a good week. It was a tremendously good week, and I just praise the Lord for it. Praise Him for the opportunity to get home. I texted my wife when we landed at BWI. We were late leaving out of Miami because of all the storms, and we didn't leave from Miami until 10:15, I think it was, something like that. And we're supposed to have left before 9 o'clock, about 9 o'clock, and left at 10:15, and she said, we'll be waiting, for you to get picked up and everything. And I said, I hadn't eaten yet. I was hungry. I was thirsty. And I said, you know what? I wonder how long 7-Eleven is open at night, because I think I want to get me one of those big cherry, big gulps, the icy. And Pastor Aaron's son, Nathan, came by to pick us up at the airport so I could get back in time to finish typing my lesson out and get everything done, because I didn't have time to get all that done over the weekend or over the last week. We just didn't have time to do it. And I sat up several nights and worked on it, trying to get it done, but it just didn't get it all finished out. Anyway, he picked us up and brought me back to the church. He dropped me off at the church, and then they went on home. And when I got here, Danny drove his little inconspicuous car, that little orange thing. And he and my two favorite ladies were there waiting for me, Precious and Lisa, amen? And the only one that was scratching at the window to get at me was the dog, but, When we got home, Lisa was walking with a cane where she messed up her knee, and she's got that all messed up. But, oh, man, Precious was loving to see me. She sat in the back seat with me, just licked on me, looked at me like, is that really you, Daddy? But we had a good time. And guess what they had for me in the car? A big gulp. And, man, I got home, and I had some barbecue potato chips that was still in my bag, and I didn't get a chance to eat them. So I sat down this morning, ate that, and I finished that big gulp, and finished up on some stuff, and then got in bed. I think it was about 3:30 or so before I got in bed. And then got here early and finished out the lesson this morning. So it's ready, and I'm ready to teach this morning. Amen? And I just want to say thank you for praying for us. It was a great week. We had a great week. I know everybody is tired, and I do appreciate them. Two of the folks here today so far, I don't think the others have made it up out of bed yet. Kathy Reed, she drove back home last night. This morning, she's got a 45-minute to one-hour drive. And I did not expect to see her this morning at all. So pray for her. Pray for Buck and for Mark. And who else from our class went? I can't remember now. That's it? Yeah. But we had a great time. Man, thank you. Just thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying that God would give us strength and be able to get us through it. And we met some new friends. And we left there with a tear in our eye because we had to leave them. And boy, I tell you, folks, you don't know, you don't realize what you've got here. Amen. Until you go somewhere else that doesn't have it. And I'm telling you, the pastor where we served at this week had a church building. And I'll just tell you this real quick. His building was used by another group of spiritual Baptists, okay, that were into witchcraft and voodoo and all kinds of stuff. And the people, when we went door to door in those areas, They knew where the church was at, but they were afraid to come to it because of the stuff that was going on. And he has fought a battle there. His wife just died with cancer a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he's doing things on his own. He runs a business of his own. He drives a cab. He's got a van. That's what he took this week and drove us around in. And he drives full time and trying to serve the Lord and trying to teach. It's only one room. The church is only one room. And we filled it up with nearly 60 kids. And I mean, it was full. They were standing outside the doors. We had parents that would come and drop them off, but they wouldn't come into the building because they were afraid. And but many of our soul winners got to lead those folks to Christ outside on the street. And they came in and helped out with some things. But man, what a week. What a great week. But folks, you don't realize what you got here. You don't realize that you need to be thanking God for what he's given you. And you know, as we celebrate this 4th of July coming up, I can't remember if it's 247, 248, 247 I think it is, 247th birthday of our nation. We need to thank God for what God has given us here. We really do. And I just want to say thank you again for praying for us and for being back here on this Sunday morning. All right? All right. Today being July the 2nd, 2023, we want to go to Amos chapter number 3. Now, I've got 3 chapters to get through today, okay? I'm going to tell you, if you just sit and read these chapters today in themselves, you don't need me to teach it, because God tells you what's happening. It's not hard to understand. But I'm going to do my best this morning to teach you what thus saith the Lord. And I want you to look at it today, July the 2nd. This is Amos chapter number 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 4 chapters. And the lesson is entitled, Hear Ye, Hear Ye, Hear Ye. As I sat down this week and I studied through this lesson, and we get home at night, we'd get back to the hotel and all the guys would go to sleep. Brother Mark Peterson and Brother Buck Bowers had a room, and they had an air conditioner in that room and a bathroom off to the side of it. The other room that was there, Pastor Aaron Fuchs, he had a big bed in there and a air conditioning in his room and a bathroom off the side of his room. And I took the living room, and it had a sofa in there that made into a bed, and there was no air conditioning in that part. So I opened up the windows and just had a big fan blowing in there, and that was fairly cool. It was nice and cool. I was comfortable with that. But they would come back in, and our meal would normally consist each night of Pringles, potato chips, or some Ruffles, or some pretzels, or some cookies, and then we'd top it off with some ice cream. We did stop at a store and got us some ice cream. It had coconut ice cream, it had strawberry ice cream, I think it had chocolate chip ice cream, and that would be our meal for the night. And then the guys would go to bed, and I would sit up and study and try to get through the lesson. And I found myself a couple nights just nodding, just trying to read the verses and read the 4 chapters. But as I sat down and read these 4 chapters from the Word of God, my heart was grieved. I mean, my heart was grieved. And let me tell you why my heart was grieved. I think it was because when you read what Amos wrote, Amos told the people how God's heart was grieved. God's heart was grieved because of their arrogance and their pride. And folks, listen to me. Pride is what threw Satan out of heaven. You remember that? And old pride, arrogancy, good grief. And that's what happened with the people of God in the days of Amos. And let me take a time out right here just a moment and say, I want to thank Joe and Susan Stansberry. They're back here to back. Hold up your hand, guys. They're back here today. Joe has been taking care of his mother for probably, 2 years? And she's been really sick, got cancer, had cancer. And they decided last week to let her come home. And I guess she died the next day. She died the next day. And they had to bury his mom this week. And yet they're here today. And I just want to say thank you for getting to be here. Amen. You got folks praying for you. We put you on our prayer list. And if you get a chance, just let them know you'll be praying for them, okay? Let them know you'll be praying for them. All right? Now, time back in. All right? We're going back to the lesson. I saw them back there, and I forgot to say anything about it. But, you know, I got to thinking about how all the pride of Israel just broke the heart of God. And, you know, this past month, our nation, I guess our world, I don't know, the whole place has gone crazy. But our nation celebrated this pride and arrogance month. And it was sickening. It still is sickening. It's sickening in the eyes of God. And sickening to see our leadership in our country, our White House lawn filled up with the garbage that they did in promoting that which God says is sin and abomination. And folks, when Amos preached to these people, he taught them, here, watch your cup right there. There you go. When he is preaching to them, if you'll look at chapters 3, 4, and 5, look at verse 1 of each of those chapters. Amos says, "Hear this word that the Lord God hath spoken against you." That's chapter 3. Look at chapter 4. He says, "Hear this word." You look at chapter 5. He says, "Hear ye this word which I take up against ye." Thus, the lesson is entitled, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." And God was wanting his people to hear what he was trying to tell them. And God was merciful to them. He was trying to show them how much he had done for them. And yet, they had forgotten all that God had done. And folks, I'm telling you today, when we forget what God has done for us, we're in trouble. Amen. We are in trouble. 247 years ago, this nation was founded. It declared independence from tyranny, from England, from the unjust things that were going on. And they declared themselves to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And folks, we are as far away from that today as you could ever imagine. As a nation, we have turned against God. And the thing that grieves my heart is to think that as God looked at his chosen people, Israel, and he said, "You've broken my heart, and I'm going to send judgment upon you." Surely judgment is coming to our nation. You might as well just mark it down. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but God is going to send judgment. And if we're not careful, and we get soaked into this stuff, and we say, "Well, everybody else is doing it, I guess we've got to do it too," you better think again, because God is going to hold you as his child accountable unto him for what you accept and what you reject. And folks, I'm not going to accept this stuff. I'm not going to do it. I know our pastor's not going to do it. This church is not going to do this. But you know what? Because of that, we may have to do some suffering with things going around us today. There's going to be some times of suffering. There's going to be some hardships. But we need to remember, the government doesn't give us our peace and tranquility in this nation. God gives that. Amen. And it's only when we do that which is right in the eyes of God that we will have God's blessings upon our nation. As Israel refused to take heed to the word of God, so our nation has refused to take heed to the word of God. And they are declaring things that is just unbelievable. How long will God endure man's sinfulness and his just wickedness, vile imaginations and thoughts? I don't know. But judgment is coming. And you know, this message God is amazing. We got an amazing God.
Amen.
Because this message would be for this day as we prepare to celebrate our nation's independence. When we look at the lesson, you're going to see this lesson was meant for you and for me today. Now, I want us to look at it today. I don't have time to go through all my introduction. I don't have time for that. But we're going to get into the lesson. I want you to hear, number one, hear about the certainty of judgment. I want you to look at this in Amos chapter number 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. The revelation of coming judgment is given here. It is revealed from God to Amos and from Amos to the people. And God wanted the people to know what was happening. Now let's look at the first 8 verses. Look what God has Amos to tell the people. He said, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you." Let me stop right there a minute. When God says something against you, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. God is not some little wimp. These churches today, I'm just going to tell you, folks, you do not realize how blessed we are to have what we have here in this church today. You do not realize it. And this world today has gotten so wicked. And the churches have become so worldly in the things that they're doing and in the things that they're teaching, you just do not understand unless you got to see some of this. And God said to his own people, "You better listen because I've got something to say against you." And look what he said. He said, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him?" That gin is a trap. That gin is a setup. It's something that will cause someone to fall. And folks, today, I hate to even have to say this, but there are many churches today that are gins for Satan, because they have been set there to entrap people into thinking that they're all right. And God is a God of love. And God loves everybody. He does. But God has given us a mission, and that is to tell people about their sin. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I said I wasn't, but I'm going to. Someone that I love and care for very much sent me a note because they think that I'm crazy. Because we deal with soul winning. We tell folks about Jesus. We tell folks how to be saved and born again. And they believe that we're not doing what we ought to be doing because we're not teaching folks to speak in tongues and we don't have the contemporary stuff. And we don't center our focus on healing, wealth, prosperity, and political conservatism. All right? Now that's what this pastor you're going to hear does stuff with. I'm just going to let you hear a portion of this just a moment. And I'm going to see if it bothers you like it bothered me. It made me mad. Now, I try not to get mad because I have a temper sometimes. And I get in the flesh sometimes if I'm not careful. I just want you to listen a minute.
I'm all for everybody being born again. But Jesus didn't tell us to go get people born again. He told us to go and make disciples and teach them to observe all things. And one of the reasons that the church is not having the impact that God intended for it to have on our culture is because we have been emphasizing get saved so that you won't go to hell. And even though that's good, and if that's all that there was to salvation, that would be more than what we deserve, and I'd preach it. But man, it's so much more than that.
Folks, let me tell you something here just a minute. Nowhere in the King James Bible will you find the Great Commission telling us to go and make disciples. That's not our job. If I could make disciples, I'd take a little magic wand and I'd say, boom, you're saved, boom, you're saved, boom, you're saved. That's not our job. The Bible nowhere says to go and make disciples. Our job is to go and teach all nations. What are we to teach them? We're to teach them the message of the gospel. We're to teach them that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to tell you something. I preached one night this week at Pastor Thomas's church about the reality of hell. There is a hell. And if there was not a hell, there'd been no reason for God to send His Son Jesus to this earth. And our job is to win souls and keep souls out of hell. I don't care what anybody else says. And folks, that's what's being taught in these churches today. Now let me tell you, you say, well, preacher, he said that was in the Bible. And Jesus said this. That's in the book that they call a Bible. And I went back and I looked it up. I looked in every one of these different versions. It said that in the New International Version. It says that in the ASV and the RSV and the CEV and all these others. It even says that in the New World Translation that's used by the Jehovah's False Witnesses. And let me tell you why it says that in all those versions. Because all of those versions are wrong. They're perverted. They come from wrong texts. And these folks have swallowed a lie from Satan. Because Satan is, his desire is that men perish in their sin and die and go to hell. And if he can get our focus off of telling folks how to stay out of hell, then he's accomplished everything he wants to accomplish. We can feed them, we can clothe them, we can send them oil cloths in the mail and say, you send me $10 and God will bless you and make you prosperous and all this garbage. Folks, you can have a wallet full of money, you can have a hot dog, a potato chip, a steak biscuit, whatever else you want in your belly, and a new suit of clothes on your back. But if you're lost, you're still going to die and go to hell. And you can go to hell with all those great things. But if you don't hear the message of the Word of God, you're going to be lost for eternity. And this pastor is a heretic. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And I told my friend this. I told this to him. And yet, you know what they said? We don't believe what you're teaching. You're not teaching the full truth. Folks, you listen to me. Look it up yourselves. And you find out how often Jesus said we needed to concentrate and we needed to live our lives so that we could be prosperous. And we're supposed to have all this money and wealth and fame and fortune and all these other things. He never said that. He never said that if you were in the will of God that you would be perfectly healthy all the time either. He never said that. Folks, stay in the book. Amen. This is why Amos said to the people the words that God said unto him, hear ye the word which the Lord has spoken against you. God said, you've disannulled my word. You've neglected it. You've rejected it. And you've chosen your own way of living. And now judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And look what he said. The people in Amos' day were people just like live in our day. Listen, man has not changed. From the Garden of Eden, man has not changed. His will is to do his own will. He is stubborn, rebellious toward God. And God said, listen, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. I want you to hear what you've done wrong. I want you to recognize what you've done wrong. And I want you to turn from that wickedness. Now listen, he said here that God asked questions. Amos said, God has asked some questions. And I want you to answer them. Number one, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen, this is why a saved man doesn't marry a lost woman. This is why a lost or a saved woman does not marry an unsaved man. Because they're going two different directions. And you know what? When you're going two different directions, look at me now. This is fighting. Fighting. You're going against the grain. You've got to walk together. And the only way that you can walk together is to be with the Lord. Amen? You can't do it any other way. And God asked him here, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Except they be agreed? Listen, that's why Under Armour and all these other places, Target and Kohl's and all these places, listen, they're walking together with the devil's crowd so they can keep the monies coming in. Listen, I would rather walk for Jesus and not worry about where my money's coming from, but know that God is going to take care of my needs. Amen? You can't walk with Satan and expect to be blessed by God. It's just not going to happen. Then look at this. He said, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? And he's reminding the people here of the truth of the matter. And that being, even as that roaring of the lion causes great terror and great fear to all the other animals in the kingdom that hear him. Listen, God is telling his people that judgment is coming. He's roaring out. Chapter 1, the Lord roared against his people. Listen, that lion, there is an adversary that walketh about looking whom he may devour. Who is that? That's Satan. And folks, look at the third question. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Even a young lion will not cry out from his den if he's not caught anything to eat. He's bragging that he's got something. He's letting everybody else know, I caught a prey. He's asking the people these questions. He's expecting them to answer honestly. Now look at number four. Amos then asks, he said, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? You know what? The birds of the air, I got little bird feeders back in my backyard. And I love to just sit there and watch the birds come up and eat out of that stuff. We'll fill that thing up. I finally fixed it where the squirrels can't get in there. The squirrels were up there just having themselves a time. And when Precious would see those squirrels, she'd start barking and carrying on. And she'd look at me like, Daddy, the squirrels are in the feeder again. And so I'd say, are they out there? And she would just run in a circle and then run to the door. And I'd just open it up. I said, tell them what you think, sweetheart. Tell them what you think. And she's out there barking, those squirrels take off, and all the birds come back in. And it's like the little birds are saying, thank you, Precious. Thank you, honey. We got some food again. But what God is saying here, listen, The birds won't fall to the earth from a snare unless some means of entrapment has been laid out for them. And Satan has set many traps. And the saddest thing that breaks my heart today is that some of these traps that Satan has set out are religious traps. In the name of religion, in the name of denominationalism, oh, we speak in tongues and we do this and we do that and we got contemporary. You look like the world, you act like the world, and the world is still going to hell. That's exactly what it is. You can't tell me anything different. They sent me a picture of their church service. And I'm looking at it. It's all dark inside. Got these spotlights shining down. And this old girl comes out in some tight britches. I don't know if they sprayed them on or they pulled them on. I don't know what they did with them. But I'm going to tell you this. She's up there wooing and woeing and carrying on. And then they start talking in tongues and all this other mess. When you're seeing all that, you're not thinking about Jesus. No, it's a lie of the devil. And the devil has set traps out there. And the problem is, folks are not enough in the Word of God to see it. Amen. They don't see it. He asks these questions because he wants them to consider what he's saying. Psalm 124, verses 6 through 8 says this, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And folks, if the gospel was not important enough to preach to the world to free them from the snares of the devil, I don't know what else is. There is nothing else. Your wealth, your health, your political conservatism, all these things, that is not what's going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you there. Listen to the next question. Question number 6. In verse number 6, he said, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid?" The whole reason that the watchman was on the wall with a trumpet by his side was to let the people know there's an enemy out there coming and you need to take heed. If he sounded forth that trumpet and the people said, "Oh, he's blowing that horn again. Good grief. Just do what you want to do." The enemy's going to overtake them. And that's exactly what's happened today. The enemy has overtaken us. Look at number 7, the 7th question in verse 8. Amos asked there, he said, "Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it?" You say, "Preacher, the Lord would bring evil upon a city?" Listen to me. Sin brings forth evil. And evil brings forth consequences. And consequences are the judgments of God. God allows that evil to overtake them. If you'll read Romans chapter 1, and I don't have time right now to go through all that, but if you'll read Romans chapter 1, God said they chose, they knew God, but they chose not to honor him as God. And God basically gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. What does that tell you about our country today? What does it tell you? I saw a lady at the airport, and she had a shirt on with a rainbow thing, and it said, "A pride ally." And I thought, honey, if you really believe what you thought you believed, you wouldn't be here today. Because pride ain't going to get a baby here in this earth, amen? If it had been Adam and Steve in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't be having this class today. Now you think about it. Listen, God is saying evil is coming to a city and God is going to send judgment. He's going to let evil overtake you. And folks, we're seeing this in our nation today. And God was speaking to his chosen people. To his chosen people he was speaking. And he wanted them to hear and to understand. Look at the second part. Proclamation. He gave a proclamation of coming judgment. Look at verses 9 through 15. Let me take just another swig of water. He said here, he said, publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right. Now look at it again. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary. Wait a minute now, an adversary. I think Peter talked about that. There's an adversary that's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Who is that? Satan. Satan was alive in Amos' day. He's very much still alive in our day. And look what he said. An adversary there shall be, even round about the land. And he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. They were at ease in Zion, folks. That's what was happening. They're sitting on their fat beds. They're sitting on their comfy couches, thinking, we're God's people. Everything's all right. And God says, no, it's not. It's not all right. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Bethel was supposed to be a place of blessing. It was supposed to be the house of God. And they had turned it into a den of false worship. They worshiped idols. They worshiped pagan handmade gods of the lands around them, the nations around them. And they took the house of God and made it a temple of Satan, is basically what they've done. And folks, I say it again. It may be because I'm tired, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're seeing it around here everywhere you look today. They've taken the house of God and turned it into a den of Satan. And people go in, lost as lost can be, and come out feeling good because nobody there ever mentions anything about hell, or they don't tell them about their sin. But you can be made to feel good today, no matter what your situation is. We all have something to praise God about today. And then they spend 45 minutes trying to get you to give them money so that they can experience the blessings of God in their lives. Foolishness. Foolishness. Let me go on. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground where they brought their offerings unto God. God said, I'm going to destroy it. You brought them and you said it was to me, but you didn't worship me. You weren't worshiping me. And I'm going to destroy the place that you brought your offerings. He said, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. You know what God is doing? He's inviting all the pagan cities around them, around Israel, around Judah, around Samaria, the capital of Israel there. He's inviting them to come and see what thus saith the Lord, and how God whips his own children. He chastens, he sends down judgment upon his own children to help them to understand and see, if God does this to his own children, what's he going to do to those that don't know him? What's he going to do? Folks, God wanted the people to turn away from their sin. and they would not listen. And so point number two, we see here, God wants them to hear the reasons for the coming judgment. And folks, I'm going to say something right now. This is where it gets juicy. When you read this, you're going to think you're reading today's newspaper. You're going to think you're reading today's newspaper. And the very first one God has Amos start with, ladies, I love you. I want you to understand that. I love you in the Lord. But the very first one was the affluent women who are exploiting the poor. The affluent women who are exploiting the poor. We go to Amos chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And Amos says this again, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. You know what a kine is, don't you? It's a cow. It's a female cow. Okay? It's a cow. And God was talking to these women and he called them a bunch of cows. That's what he did. The fields of Bashan were lush and plenteous. And those cows got big and fat and they just enjoyed it. They enjoyed grazing in luxury. But as you read this, well, let me just read it. I'm just going to read the three verses and I'll stop, okay? Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. And God didn't spare any words with this. And my challenge to you this week would be, go back and read these four chapters. And as you read these four chapters, I am hoping and praying that it will break your heart enough that you will pray for America to turn back to God. Turn back to the God that they have forsaken and return unto the joy of knowing the Lord God. Father, I know I didn't get very far with this lesson today, but Lord, we need to understand what is happening in our world. And Lord, today, the devil has deceived a lot of people. He's got them thinking that, Lord, they're just fat and happy and just enjoying their great salvation to the point that they exploit others. They steal from others so that they might live luxuriously and live in great gain and prosperity. And God, that is not what you saved us to do. You saved us, Lord, to go into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in, that your house in heaven might be filled and that folks might escape the flames of hell. And I pray, God, today that you'll never let us forget that fact. Please, Lord, speak to hearts today. Speak both to Christians and speak to those who are lost and are in need of a Savior. Draw them unto you today. And if there are folks here that need to be saved, then God, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to them, show them their need of salvation, and let that be accomplished today. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you. Come back next week and I'll give you the rest of the lesson, okay? All right.